Hello everyone, this is your favorite voice of business psychology. Armed with research, personal experiences, and a passion to understand the nuances of rapidly evolving workplace dynamics. I am your host, Kritika Kashyap, a management psychologist. Let me introduce you to the dynamic Chirag Gupta. Dive into international development and you will find Chirag's footprint in places from South Africa to the Philippines over the last 8 years. Ever came across the big project of the Asian Development Bank's Youth for Asia initiative? Yep, that had Chirag's touch, engaging millions in Asia Pacific. Now he is making waves at Chemonix in India, revolutionizing health marketplaces for better accessibility and affordability. Remember the Unleash Global Innovative Lab in India? Chirag was instrumental there, churning over 170 prototypes for global goals. But here's a twist, he's not just about work. Amidst COVID-19, he co-founded Community Lab, amping up job seekers' digital profiles. And to all budding professionals out there, Chirag's mentoring must be the boost you need. A firm believer in partnerships and strategy, he is an advocate for change that's truly lasts. I am thrilled to invite Chirag Gupta.
Welcome, Chirag, and good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast Psyche and Success, the Gen Z edition. So, first of all, Chirag, I would want you to introduce yourself to the listeners, walk us through your projects that you have been involved in.
Thank you so much for welcoming me to the podcast, Kritika. I have been listening to all your episodes and definitely some of the most insightful episodes I have listened to in a long time, sharing about Gen Z at the workplace and how everyone could be more equipped on having them. So pleasure is all mine to be on the podcast and share some of my experience as well. My name is Chirag and I have been working in the development sector for about 8 years. And I have been at the cusp of being a Gen Z. I just missed being a Gen Z by literally a year. I was born in 1995. Okay. So I can share insights from being a millennial as well as how I miss being a Gen Z myself. And
that is why you are the perfect candidate for it.
Exactly. And for the last 8 years, I have been working with young people and for sustainable development goals and finding a culmination of both. I was there when the sustainable development goals were launched in 2015. And since then, I have worked with youth organizations. I have worked on research with how to have more young people in the organization. Then I have worked on climate change and health markets specifically recently. And most of the areas where I have focused on being a young people myself has been about young people and how we can involve them more. So definitely really looking forward to how I can share my insights and some of the work that I have done as well.
That's quite interesting because, you know, even when we were discussing about all your projects that you have been doing, so I see a lot of, you know, impactful and all the project is social causes that you have been deeply involved in. So, and Gen Z is known for being deeply caring about the social causes, the impact, the positive impact, bringing about a change in the environment that they are in organizations. And as you mentioned already, that you are a millennial, but still on the edge. So how do you think when you are picking up any project, what is the criteria? Is it like there has to be some, you know, social change, or how do you pick projects when you're working on it? What goes in your mind?
Sure. I mean, definitely first thing that goes in my mind is how I can provide value to a project or a certain area where I have been looking up for a project in, specifically with my skills and the areas where I have worked in and also where I see myself growing in the next few years. So definitely that kind of value creation is the first thing that I look at. But on the larger end, I think when we see or when we talk about Gen Z or people in the job markets right now, everyone has been talking about purpose or the larger big picture which they want to contribute to. And I think that has been the major reason why people have been taking jobs these days, mm-hmm. and also why they are leaving jobs these days, because they don't see the purpose in the beginning itself. So I definitely look at how I can contribute to a particular project, and also how the project is contributing to a larger kind of global environment as well. And Gen Z definitely is more social conscious these mm-hmm. days. They always talk about climate change. They always talk about racial justice or diversity and equity and inclusion these days. So
yes,
definitely these are some of the areas that even I look at when I'm choosing a project, and if the organization that I'm working with, how they are contributing mm-hmm. to say the climate or different other social issues that they have been working in as well. For example, sustainable fashion, or how they are working on cleaning up the oceans, and they are not contributing to a larger problem of the waste that is already there. So definitely looking for those social conscious brands is somewhere at the mm-hmm. back of my mind as well. And my deep interest lies in climate change and ocean pollution, but definitely I'm very keen to learn about newer topics as well. For example, I recently started work into the health sector, so that okay. gave me insight about how health sector in India or how the global markets in health sector are there as well. Last year, I had a chance to work to conduct a global innovation lab where I worked on multiple themes which were around education or renewable energy mm. and non-communicable diseases, climate change and everything. And being an engineer as well, I mean, mm. renewable energy has been something that I started working in very early stages of my career as well. So definitely these are some things I definitely look at when I'm working on a project or when I'm looking for a new project.
That's incredible. That's actually the need of the hour, the need of the world at the moment, that people work, they actually care for the environment, the ongoing things that is happening around, and how can we as individuals make it better. So that is really commendable, the kind of project that you pick up and what you have been doing. So, you know, how, because you had been talking about how Gen Z is into all of that, and then you also are so much passionate about causes and working towards it. So otherwise, when you see your friends and who are millennials again, do you see a difference between the mindset, or how would you think that millennials are any different from Gen Z?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. So first of all, if we talk about millennials and if we talk about Gen Zs, I mean, both of them are pretty broad age range. So millennials started in like 1980s, who are like 43 years of age right now. And then Gen Z also covers everywhere from 1997, which is almost our age, and till 2012, which are in their early preteens. So, I mean, the ideas or the way that they have been born and brought up has been quite different generation wise as well. Like even in millennials, like people who have been born and brought up in early 80s, their mindset and view of the world is quite different from someone like me, who is born in mid 90s and right. Where internet was right at its booming stage, and all the things mm-hmm. that for example, that I have learned have been from the early advancement of internet and things that I was able to learn from it. So I would say that millennials also somewhere look at things like causes and how they are contributing. But depending on the age that they are at their career, right. I mean, it can be anywhere from being at their learning age. For example, for me, I still look at learning as a major part of the job or the areas that I pick in, or like what I can learn from it, or what are some things that I can take forward in my career to grow. But millennials, for example, at their later stage of their careers, they can be really huge experts at what they have been doing now, focusing on some particular fields, like 2 to 3 fields that they have built their expertise in, and also being and playing a role of a guide and a mentor to the Gen Z or Generation Alpha, which is quite heavily involved in social impact and raising their voices, and has just started to come on internet and being a part of this digital age as well. So that's where I see the expertise and the roles that millennials are playing right now, which are ranging quite diversely within the job market and within the work that they have been doing.
You beautifully mentioned how millennials and Gen Z can coexist together, because this is one of the major challenges of the organizations, because with Gen Z coming up with their new perspectives and new mindset, the way of working, and millennials, because they are already veteran in their specific field, so they would be more of a mentor and coaches to the Gen Z and young professionals coming into the organizations now. And that's amazing. So I would want you to, you know, talk more about your one of your projects that you did with ADB around the young professional, Gen Z, and development sector. So because that was really interesting to me, so I would want you to share it with our listeners as well.
Yeah, sure. So I have been working with the Asian Development Bank for quite a long time. So one of the first projects that I did at ADB was working with their youth initiative. It was called Youth for Asia, and where we first of all defined population that we'll be working with, like what the young population actually means, because every organization and every country has a different way of defining young population. For example, UN describes young population as someone who is between 18 to 24 years of age, which is actually Gen Z. But for example, some other organizations define young population as 18 to 30 years of age, whereas some countries define young population, such as Afghanistan and Nepal, as someone who is between 18 to 40 years of age, which is Gen Z and millennial both. So we kind of first defined like what does young population actually means. So based on the analysis that we did, most of the organizations were taking, and the countries that we have been working with were taking up to 30 as the young population, and we found out that around 55% of the young population of the world is in Asia and the Pacific, and Gen Z makes up to 1/4 of that Asia Pacific population as well. So it's quite high a number. We have a very diverse set of countries that we have. For example, Japan and China, which are some of the aging populations, and then we have South Asian countries, which are some of the young populations that have been there in the world. So we were trying to find out like how young people can work more collaboratively in the development sector, because whenever someone talks about the development sector, it is some of your typical bureaucrats who are 40 years and above, and then they have been working in the government for a long period of time, and there hasn't been many young people who have been working in the bureaucracy. So how we can bring that kind of young perspective into that development mix as well, and we were trying to find out what are some of the values that young people can bring. And there were some areas where we did research. So we first of all tried to build our case with the research and the studies that ILO has conducted, like how young people are 3 times more unlikely to get a job than adults who are unemployed as well, being the unemployment rate, which is at one of the highest. And this is happening even when young people are bringing qualities like disruptive and innovative thinking. They are very new in their approach, and they try to bring all the insights they have gathered from all the different works that they have conducted, and they try to bring a unique perspective to the work that they have been doing as well. And due to that behavioral insights and the innovative thinking that they bring, they are able to connect with the communities more well to get the insights from them as well, and try to bring their perspective as well to the work that they have been doing. One other thing that we found out that resilience and resourcefulness is also one of the major traits that young people bring. They are very perseverant and in the work that they have been doing, and they ensure that they are able to learn something new, and they are able to bring that resilient traits to the things that they have been doing as well. Specifically in something like fundraising, for example, they have been able to find out where the resources are, where they can find collaborations, and where they can bring everyone together to raise funds and work towards a cause that they have been working on. And that's when we found out that they are natural collaborators as well. They have more empathy, and they work across generations, basically, whether it is old people or whether it is the youngest of the people. They try to bring all of them together and collaborate with them really well. And then there are other traits that we found out, having a global outlook, because the world being more open, they are more careful and more caring about the how the global outlook matters and how different things that they are doing, they can bring a global perspective to that as well. And they are pretty good at digital literacy and digital tools that they have been using to find out different insights to the work that they have been doing, which ultimately makes them a caring and responsible citizen. This was one part of the study that we conducted, but other part we tried to relate it to the sustainable development goals as well. Like what are some of the major sustainable development goals the young people have been caring for these days? We nailed down on three sustainable development goals, which were SDG 3, 8, and 13. SDG 3 is good health and well-being, making sure that they are taking care of their health and also well-being, which is both mental and physical, in the work that they have been doing in whatever areas that they have been participating in, and also and also making sure that everyone else in the world has access to good health and access to well-being wherever they are. Then climate change is one of the major topics that everyone has been focusing on, being climate conscious, being paying attention to sustainability, paying attention to no waste and everything as well. And then SDG number 8, which was decent work and economic growth, is also something that they have been paying attention to, which is quite relevant to what you have been working as well, like how Gen Z and young people can get decent work and quality jobs, and how workplaces can adapt to providing that kind of quality jobs as well, and how Gen Z and young people can pay attention to the economic growth of not just the country and the region that they are in, but also globally, how they can be more participative in that.
So tell me more about when you talked that, you know, your researchers showed that Gen Z is they are more resilient and they bring about new perspectives on the table, new ideas. So, and in the development sector, because they are more focused, they are more veterans and people who are millennials or at the age of 40, and so how is it, even if Gen Z is bringing about a lot of new things, why is it that the development sector is not able to inculcate all of the goodness of Gen Z to help get better with their targets and missions?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, there are two sides of the development sector that I have been seeing right now. So one is the traditional development sector, which is they're working with the government or the public sector or the development banks or the international organizations that are catering to the development in the world. that is there. But then the other side is definitely the newer NGOs and the work in the social sector something like NGOs which are focusing on one single issue only. So these are emerging up right now. So whereas one sector still has more traditional jobs and they value experience more than the skills and the attitude and the perspective, even right now, there is the other side of the development sector which makes sure that people are passionate about the work that they have been doing, and also the insights and the perspective that they bring. I won't say like both of these are mutually exclusive to each other. It all depends on the organization culture as well that they have been working in. But for example, these are some of the traits that I find in both the sectors. And if I talk about the traditional development sector, that still values experience more, because they still collaborate and work with the governments at a very high level. So their stakeholders that they are collaborating with requires that kind of experience and requires that kind of formality and expertise that they have been bringing with that experience. So that's where I see in the development sector where young people are not that commonly found, which is changing right now. As I would say, there are more young people and more young professionals which are coming into that traditional development sector as well. Because first of all, our society is changing. There are things that people have been learning much more quickly now with the rise of internet and with the rise of skills that you can gain really quickly with access to information and data. But also how our society is changing and being more young. So it's really high time where workplaces are adapting to this shift as well and bringing more young people within their workforce as well. But for example, wherever this was not possible, we actually within our research as well suggested a way of including that through youth adult partnerships. How organizations can have young people working with them, but also in a partnership kind of way, which is more like a mentorship, basically, like how every young people can have an experienced professional mentoring them and also getting them up to speed with all the things that they have been doing in the organization and how they can take advantage of the perspective and the value that young people have been bringing within their work as well. For example, there were a lot of outputs which wouldn't require a person with a 20 years of experience, and that can be easily completed by someone who has just started their job or is very new to the workforce as well. And so how these traits and experiences can complement each other and how young people and adults can work together more collaboratively in a complementing nature. So that's why we called it youth adult partnerships. So I would say it's changing right now, and I think within the next 5 to 10 years we'll see a major shift within the development sector as well now.
Oh, that's brilliant. And when you're talking about, you know, that organizations are now changing and they are seeing value in freshers or young professionals or Gen Z, the kind of perspectives that they are bringing. How do you think that organizations, because, you know, with the workplace, the mentality of Gen Z with COVID happening and everything going remote, the hybrid being the norm now, and how do you think that organizations should prepare themselves for to adapt Gen Z's way of working? Because Gen Z is already in the market. They have been working for around now, let's say 10 years.
Yeah.
So how do you think that organizations can prepare, or what are the interventions that they should inculcate in their own companies?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things that are directly relevant to the values that Gen Z or young people see in the organizations right now. So first is definitely diversity and more equity in the work that they have been doing, there's still a very large gap between men and women who are working at an organization and the kind of jobs that they have, building that gap within the wages that they get and the economic contribution that they have and kind of the jobs that they have been getting. So building that gap and having more equity in the work is still something that the organizations need to do. Bringing that kind of diversity to the work is also something that Gen Z always looks into their organization, and organizations need to pay more attention to as well. For example, how they can have more LGBTQIA presence within their organizations,
yes.
How they can have more young people and more older people within their organization as well, and how they can have people from different communities within their organization, people from different ethnicities within their organization as well. The world is global right now. Young people don't think of country restrictions whenever they are looking for a job. I don't think of country restrictions when I'm looking for a job right now. So ethnicity is also something that organizations need to take care of whenever they are trying to build a diverse organization, to make sure that they are being represented by each and everyone from across the planet. Then definitely good health is also something that I shared as one of the other SDGs young people look for. So making sure that organizations are taking care of the physical and the mental well-being of the employees or the Gen Z or the young people that are working with them. And for example, I have been reading a lot about Zerodha, which is one of the stockbroking platform in India.
Right.
And their both of their co-founders speak a lot about being physically fit and that kind of routine as well. And they have built that kind of culture within that organization where they always go for football or tennis and different kind of physical activities. And that has helped in the organization being one of the most fit organizations in the country right now. So how good health and well-being is also taken care of within the organization as well. Then third thing is definitely sustainability, which is one of the other values that Gen Z or young people focus on right now. So how organizations can be more climate conscious, how they can have initiatives where they are talking about being sustainable, not just financially and economically, but also environmentally and socially as well, and how they are being more climate conscious and not creating any waste, not supporting organizations which have not been sustainable right now. Then another thing that organizations can work on is definitely supporting Gen Z or people who have just started in the workforce with mentors who can help them realize their purpose, who can help them with right skills and right training that they would need in their early years to make sure that they are being caught up to all the things that they need to know, how to work in an organization, and how they can grow within that organization as well, or how they can grow within that particular domain or that particular skill that they have been working with. Then organizations need to take care of that global outlook as well, make sure that they themselves are digital savvy and they are taking those tools into account that Gen Z has been bringing with them, and how to take care of AI and all the different other areas as well where Gen Z is quite equipped with, and that would help in their business as well, and also Gen Z in being more focused and more purpose driven within their jobs as well. And then hybrid work, as you said, after COVID, and Gen Z and young people, they definitely look for hybrid work within the organizations that they have been working in, or if not completely remote right now. And that has been a major factor for young people dropping out of the work, because their organizations were not remote friendly, and they were not are not ready to take on hybrid work with the changing scenario right now. So one of the additional traits that I would definitely say, share is youth leadership. So how organizations can promote youth leadership as well, and they can have more young people working at leadership positions as well, and they can give them a give them an avenue to have them at a leadership position as well, and not close that.
Right. So even because I had a friend who had who was working in a company, and that company was so-called an innovative company. There was something as CEO for a month, wherein a young professional can participate in a challenge, and if he or she wins, they can be a CEO of and work with the directors and founders and learn from them on the job, get mentored through how leaders think and how leaders function. So that's amazing, and more companies should adopt such a thing in their own company if they really want to retain Gen Z and have their ideas and you know, their perspectives in the organization. And another thing, you know, you very rightly mentioned about Gen Z having a very open mind and a diverse mind, where they do not really think about diversity as being a thing. It's a norm for them. It's nothing of a luxury that, oh, this company has you know, looks into diversity and they're inclusive and everything. It's a norm for them. It has become, even researchers have shown that if the companies are not, you know, investing and are open towards diversity and inclusion and different ethnicities, Gen Z do not want to get into such organization. They do not want to work. In fact, even they have been looking into if you know, organizations are trying to be carbon neutral, are moving towards them, that if they are sustainably working towards, if they are not causing any harm to the environment. And that is how Gen Z has been, the research has shown that Gen Z has been applying for even jobs into such companies. And in fact, even in my research that I had found, that how you mentioned that hybrid and flexible working, of how, when, and in what way the Gen Z would want to work, organizations and employers will have to adapt to that. Otherwise, because Gen Z, with COVID happening and with hybrid happening, remote working happening, they have started their working according to that, and there's no coming back from this. And other than that, I would also want, because you have been mentoring a lot of young professionals, and I would want to understand more about, you know, with the influencer marketing being such a boom at the moment, and Gen Z having their own way of working, how do you think would Gen Z be, or are they already moving out of traditional jobs? And since you also mentioned about the research that you have been doing on in development sector and being a traditional, I mean, one of it being a traditional development sector, would, do you think Gen Z will move out of such way of working?
Yeah. So I think that's quite insightful what you shared about the job market and different areas where organizations have to innovate in to bring more Gen Z within their work culture as well. And I think these are some ways where Gen Z looks in being a traditional job and being kind of like a new age job as well. One of the deciding factor right now with the job that they have been taking is also the uncertainty in the world that is there right now. For example, I mean, if we talk about millennials, or specifically my generation, we were very planned, like by when do we have to do what? And it was quite disheartening to see, like, when most of our plans failed when COVID hit, and we had to start and replan again. I don't know if
of course everybody has gone through something or the other with the COVID hitting.
Exactly. So I think Gen Z these days is very well prepared to that kind of uncertainty as well, and they are able to take care of that uncertainty as a factor with how they are weighing in the traditional jobs or how they are weighing into the new jobs that they have been taking in. So the mentorship work that I did, it has been with an organization with some of us friends started when COVID hit, seeing the uncertainty and how it hit the job market, and almost everyone lost their jobs after COVID. So it was a basic kind of like a HR consultancy that we started, where we would help them with their resume building or their LinkedIn profile or personal branding online digitally, and how we can prepare them for interviews as well. And it was completely on a volunteer basis that we started that.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we worked with smaller NGOs where we had young people who were starting in the job market, who were in their first year of the jobs, or who had just completed college, or who were starting in their college as well. And we were helping them in more social skills. So I think those were really insightful in understanding their perspective as well, and how they have been seeing job markets as well. For example, in the cohort that I was mentoring, there was everyone from who wanted to be a bureaucrat to someone who wanted to be a travel influencer. So so definitely
that must be quite interesting for yourself, because
exactly.
I mean, yeah, mentoring such people from such wide variety and seeing how they can evolve as in their careers.
Exactly.
So yeah, if you would like to talk more about it, how was your experience, and how did you see, I mean, what, how different was their perspectives? Because even now, if I talk about getting into bureaucracy and with Gen Z, how are they sort of different? And then even if, you know, they want to be travel vloggers and travel influencers, so that's again not a traditional job at all. They are on their own. They are freelancers. They are contract workers. They're traveling all around constantly.
Yeah.
How do you think that is going further, and what do you think will happen to the actual traditional job that are already in the market?
Yeah. So I think traditional jobs have their own importance right now, and being a travel influencer or being an influencer in general. So these are kind of the new age jobs that have their own place as well right now. So the way I see it, I think both of these jobs are going to coexist in the future, and there are people or young people who would be attracted to those traditional jobs as well, and then there would be young people who would like to be influencers or being attracted to those new age jobs as well, which is more on the entrepreneurship line that they'll be taking in, because they are freelancers and they are contractors and they are traveling and digital nomads. So I think both of these are going to coexist, but then there's a range of different jobs that are there right now as well. For example, people are taking traditional jobs through the traditional route after completing their studies and after gaining the certain skills that are needed to complete those traditional jobs as well. Then there are people who are working as freelancers, and they are they take small projects as consultants, and they are able to complete those projects. They are able to see the impact in those projects, and then they are able to get out and start a new project as well, which is something that I have been working in. Then there are people who like to follow their passion or like to follow their hobbies through the work that they have been doing, for example, teaching guitar online or being travel influencers or singing online or cooking online, and then trying to get make themselves financially sustainable through the hobbies that they like to do. Then there's other set of young people that are that have been starting their own social enterprises and own startups and their own ventures as well, and are providing jobs to other people as well. So how they are helping in the economic development and job creation for the future generation as well as the current generation that they have been working in. So the startup boom or the startup ecosystem that has been growing all across the world right now. And a lot of young people's want to be entrepreneurs right now, which is not something that you would ask a millennial in the 90s that what do you want to become. I mean, I didn't even know the word entrepreneur to say that I want to be an entrepreneur. So
high five on that.
Exactly. So right now, how the possibilities have emerged and the possibilities have opened up to the young people or the Gen Zers right now, I think these are huge, mm-hmm. and they have huge scope of working in different areas or different journeys that they can take, which can lead to traditional mm-hmm. jobs as well as the new age jobs as well.
You know, when you say that, you know, traditional jobs and the upcoming jobs will coexist, I have known a lot of people personally that they are into traditional jobs. They are lawyers, they are into finance, they are doctors, nurses. So very traditional jobs. But on the side, they have their own social media page where they are teaching, they are financial influencers, they are sharing their journey as a
yeah.
nurse, they are, you know, helping people through social media about being a doctor and how their journey have been, what all they can do. And so when you say they can coexist, and I have been seeing that, you know, every other person, even if they are into a traditional job, they are trying different ways, they have a second job. And that is one of what I find that is the beauty of Gen Z, that they are ready to explore and dive into different things. Because again, you have the experience of mentoring. What do you think is the motivation of Gen Zers of doing, you know, such incredible work and being so passionate about, you know, being entrepreneurs, being influencers? And is it the quick money coming in or making a quick impact around the world? Or what do you think, what do they desire? What are their motivation and inspirations?
Yeah, I think that's rightly said. And not just Gen Zers, but also with millennials who have been in the later part of the millennial stage or even in the early part of the millennial stage, I think they have this kind of calling as well of doing something for themselves as well as their own regular traditional jobs that they have been doing. I think I came across this phrase quite a long time ago, that one for the plate and one for the soul. So there's one thing that they have been doing for the plate or to fill, to pay their bills and to get their daily meals and everything. But there's something that they want to do for their soul as well, and that inner purpose or that inner calling that they are able to find through the work that they have been doing. Then there's a rise of a hustle culture that started a few years ago, where people have been able to look to generate that additional source of financial income or financial stability that they can do as well. I think COVID played a major role in that as well, because a lot of them lost their jobs, and the way that they were still able to sustain themselves.
Laying off,
exactly.
That is happening.
Yeah. And so still able to sustain themselves, and they were still able to generate a financial income was through their side jobs or their side freelancing gigs. So I think that also played a major role. And as you rightly said, the laying off that has been happening right now, or the rising inflation that has been happening right now, the economic instability that's there right now. So that is also playing a major factor, where they want to have that financial sustainability in the work that they have been doing. So even yesterday, I was watching a YouTube video how restaurant owner has been able to grow her business through Instagram itself, and she has her regular job, which she does 9 to 5. But she wakes up at 3:30 a.m. Just to make sure that she's able to prepare at her restaurant, and then she sells via Instagram, and sometimes her entire orders get booked within 5 minutes of her posting on Instagram, and within 1 hour she is sold out, and then she is able to go on her regular job, and she is able to do that as well.
Definitely, that's so true. That actually defines the hustle culture that has been built. But then, you know, with the hustle culture, it is we are yet to see that how it unfolds and what happens next. So my last question, a quick question, would be that what would be the Gen Z's USP, or how would you define in a short way?
Yeah, I think I have been at the cusp of being a Gen Z, but I also have a younger sister who is a proper Gen Z-er right now.
Right.
So I think I have seen life through her perspective as well, and the way she does things, and how it is very different from how I do things. I think Gen Z definitely going away from the being digital savvy and tech savvy, and how they gain their information online, and how they are able to do work online, do shopping online, dating online, everything online as well, going away from those traditional things. I would say Gen Z are definitely one of the most empathetic and kind generation that I have seen, or I have come across right now. I think
absolutely,
our mindsets have changed from our parents' generation, which was more survivalistic in nature, where they had to find work and then stick to that work for generations to come. Then to our generation, if I say, there has been more competitiveness in our generation, where there were a lot of jobs and there were very few people who had to compete for those jobs itself. And then we had to be at the top of our games and be very competitive in the work that we have been doing. But also to Gen Zers, or to my sister's generation, which I have seen as one of the most collaborative generation. So how the mindset has been shifting as well from our parents' generation to the Gen Zs and the new generation that is there right now. I think that is also something quite amazing to see. I think I learned lessons on being more empathetic and being more kind from my sister whenever I can. So I think that is one of the traits that is going to define the next 20 to 30 years for sure, because they are more focused on their mental well-being and making sure that they are able to take care of themselves. I think they are looking for ways to make sure that they are emotionally available, and they have high emotional intelligence as well in that way. And I think that is going to change the game within the next 20 to 30 years for sure.
Absolutely. And there is so much that each one of us can learn from Gen Z and how they are so caring towards the outside world. And that has been such an incredible conversation with you, Chirag. I loved all the discussions, you sharing about your personal experiences and how even you have evolved in your work. You have been helping a lot of young professionals, and how organizations can be better and be more prepared to adapt Gen Z and take help from their perspectives and their new ideas. The conversation was definitely very valuable for me, and it definitely would be for the listeners. And thank you so much.
Yeah, and it was very valuable for me as well. I think from your role in being organizational psychologist and the insights that you were able to share with me as well, I think those were quite interesting to me, and I had a lot of fun doing this podcast as well, and I hope it would be able to help someone in some way.
Awesome. And so to our listeners, if you want to reach out to Chirag and you want to learn more from him, from his experiences and understand even further, feel free to reach out to him. I will be sharing his LinkedIn link and his Instagram link on the description, on the podcast description.
Don't forget to follow and share the podcast so that you never miss an episode. Leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Your reviews help us to reach out to more listeners and continue to bring the latest insights from the field of business psychology. Thank you for joining us on this journey. This is your host, Kritika Kashyap, signing off. Stay curious, my friends.